morning. We're going to be looking at a song this morning, number 742. I'm going to put the verses on the PowerPoint, but you're welcome to look in the book as well. We're going to survey the cross this morning. This is one of my favorite songs. I think we sang it last week. I'm hoping that we can look at this together and then sing this before we partake of the Lord's Supper. I want us to begin by looking at this first verse. It says, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." I don't know if you all have ever, you all are a lot smarter than I am, but when I read this verse and I think about this term survey, I've always just kind of thought this was I'm just getting an overview of the cross. And I've wondered if we really stopped to contemplate what it really means to survey the cross of Jesus. And there's really two ideas behind this survey. And I would just want to think with you for a moment about it. To survey means to appraise something. It means to find its value, what it's worth. We just bought a new house, and we had our house appraised a couple of times. And we got the appraisal back, and I did not attempt to go through that whole PDF. There's a lot there. A big checklist of things that the appraiser goes through. And what he does is he looks at our house and he's comparing it to all the other homes that sold within a certain amount of time. So there's a comparison that's done to see what kind of value you can place on the house that you're getting. If you like history, George Washington was a land surveyor before his presidency. And what he would do is he would travel the land or the country, and then he would draw out these maps. And it wasn't just one line that gets from point A to point B. He would actually detail out the different aspects of the country, the different trees, the forests, the ponds and lakes. He would detail for you on the map where everything was. So he had to do some research. He had to study the land that he was traveling. So to survey the cross is to contemplate and to study in great detail. It means to measure its value and its worth to you. Do we take the time to detail the cross? And I'm not just meaning every Sunday, but just every day, do we take the time to contemplate what it means and the value it has to you? Another question we might ask is it even possible to put a value or a price on the cross of Jesus? And I would dare say we can't do that. It's priceless. It's not comparable to anything else. Grocery stores sometimes do this price match. You find a price on another store that's cheaper. You can go to Kroger and you can say, hey, they've got it cheaper over here. Will you match that price? Yeah, we'll do that. You can't price match the cross. And here's why. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." This is the description that Isaac Watts refers to as the Prince of Glory in this song. This Prince of Glory is the one who was God and became so humiliated by taking up our form and suffering on that cross for you and I. So our response then is Very simply what he says here. My richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And to kind of help us understand what that means, turn over a chapter to Philippians chapter 3 and notice what Paul says in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I've read that a lot, and I think I have overlooked that term rubbish so many times. The things I could maybe boast in are considered rubbish. Our pride, our vanities, the things that we like in this world are all rubbish in view of the cross and what Jesus gave up. I can't remember the guy's name. It's Albert something. But he says this, an instrument of death and torture became God's instrument for saving humankind. So I want you to think about what Jesus has done. Jesus gave up riches for rubbish. So we could give up our rubbish for wealth. And that's what this first verse wants us to do. As we survey the cross, we need to survey it. The second stanza says this, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. I want you to consider your greatest achievement. Maybe you boast in this. Maybe you've lived a fairly good life. I know a lot of people have lived some very virtuous lives. And that might be worth taking some pride in. But let's bust that bubble now. In surveying the cross, every one of us are guilty. Every single one of us here are just like those that Peter spoke to in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when he says, "You put him to death." Can we boast in anything? Not at all. No one boasts in killing a man, especially the Son of God. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And you have to remember the context in which Paul was writing. The Jews were boasting in their law. And they were telling the Gentiles, you can get to Christ if you come through us in the law of Moses. They were boasting in something that they thought was sufficient for their salvation. And then you had the Gentiles who were boasting and saying, you're not that chosen special people like you thought you were. We are part of that now. They were boasting in the wrong thing. And so Paul says what you need to boast in is in the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that is sufficient. The sufficiency of the cross of Christ is the main point. There's nothing more impressive. There's nothing impressive at all about us. We've created messes that we can't fix. Jesus is what's amazing. Boast in what the cross has accomplished. And when we do that, we will relinquish our idols. He says, all the vain things I count but loss, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. So when Christ becomes more attractive than our anger, than our pride, our love of money, our lust of the flesh, those sins that so easily entangle us begin to vanish away when we stop boasting in ourselves and start boasting in the cross of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that our fleshly temptations are just going to vanish. Satan's still going to try to do what he can, but you now have a motive for fighting them off. And that's what this third verse says. The motive is in the actual death of Jesus and his suffering. See, from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? So when these battles we have to fight daily come up and arise, here's how you fight the devil. You survey the cross. You consider the suffering of Jesus for you. And I think it's interesting that he starts with the head, then the hands, and then the feet. Almost as though he's trying to tell us that he surrendered his whole body. He surrendered his whole self for us. And it's really what Isaiah says in that famous chapter in Isaiah 53. When he says here, that surely he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. If we ever need a reality check, consider the all-encompassing pain and torture that Jesus endured on the cross. If you ever find yourself fighting or warring against the flesh, which you will, just remind yourself that you are the nails that hung him on the cross. You are the thorns that gouged his head. Some think that maybe Isaac Watts was thinking about John 19:34, that when the spear was driven into his side, you had the blood and the water, which represents the love and the sorrow. It's incredibly humbling. And then finally, verse 4. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. I think Mr. Watts had a very right concept of the cross. If you were the king of the whole natural realm of this universe, and you had everything under your control, and you relinquished it all and gave it to God, it wouldn't come close to paying the debt you owe. The debt's too big. My sins are too much. And the gift of the whole world is too small. The remarkable thing is that God doesn't expect us to pay it back. We can't. He's given us a blank check that says paid in full. And that's what Paul would have us think about when he writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2. And he says in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." But the cross does require something. It requires for us to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. Love, he says, is so amazing. Jesus' love is so amazing. That was actually, from what I could gather, amazing was a new word that had just come about when Watts wrote this. And for them, it meant something like something great beyond expectation. And what he really probably is considering and thinking about is what Paul says in Romans 12 when he says that we are to give our bodies. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." As Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice, he calls us to do that as well. And that's our spiritual worship. And so this morning, this hymn wants us to consider and to survey, to think in detail about the cross of Christ and what it means to you. How much value do you place in it? Jesus' sacrifice must be the most important thing to you. And so this morning, as we partake, we detail the cross, we think about the accomplishments of Jesus, and then we boast in him. And we find ourselves continually falling in love with Jesus over and over and over again until we finally, wholly and completely surrender ourselves to Jesus as he has done for us. Let's sing this song and then we will partake together. We'll sing verse 1, 2, 3, and then verse 5. 742. Thank you. 742, we'll sing verse 1, 2, 3, and 5. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that me most, I sacrifice them to prayer for the bread. Oh Lord, we come before you and we ask that you help us as we try our best to detail the cross, to think through it, to think about the road of the cross, where it takes us, what we must give up, what Christ gave up, so that we could have what we can never have before. Help us to be so humbled by the fact that there's nothing we can give in exchange. There's nothing we can give to pay the debt that we owe you. It's a free gift. And this bread that we partake of, the body of Jesus, we thank you for it. We are so appreciative to you for it. May we partake in a way that will show our gratitude and our humility and our being willing to relinquish our passions of this world because we love Jesus so much. In Christ's name, amen. Let's pray again. Our great God, we come before you, and again, we want to consider the cross, consider Jesus' death, consider the blood that was shed. As we think about him, his head, his hands, his feet. There couldn't have been one spot of his body that didn't consist of blood because of the pain, the torture that he went through for our behalf. He shed it. And may that be something that makes us think over and over again. Help it to keep us close to you. As we partake of the blood of Jesus, we pray that we will do so in a way that humbles us, again, that makes us grateful and to appreciate the sacrifice that he took in my place. In Christ's name, amen.